The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. You'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
And we're rolling. What's up, buddy?
Good day! I don't know why I want to say it like that.
There he is.
Oh, there's some rustling. Now every sound that's happening in this apartment is happening.
Yeah, what's the matter over there?
Well, I got the door open. There's some rustling of leaves. We're in an Airbnb nearby the Oregon house because it's getting worked on all the bathrooms. There's no bathrooms in it. So I spent a better part of the afternoon listening to an Asian woman alter between screaming and recording a TikTok video of the same song just over and over. It was the same Asian song with her making little heart shapes with her hands out in the courtyard here. And then just yelling. Just yelling. Which
Who's making the TikTok video?
Just this Asian woman out in the courtyard. She had her phone propped up in the thing. And she was yelling. I'll get in trouble for this.
Go ahead.
Chinese people are very loud. This is good. I know it's stereotyping, but it's so much yelling. The conversation, they're not mad. It's just yelling. It's just a yelling.
Rory Scovel used to have a great bit about that where he would tread lightly into the topic, but he's like, seriously, are they just always yelling at each other? Because I can't tell.
About Chinese people?
Yeah, it's about Chinese. He can't tell if they're just talking or if they're mad at one another.
I was in Korea and it was somebody else's sentiment. Like, oh, you know, you could tell that they're Chinese because they're yelling at each other. Just in conversation. So she was yelling and then doing a TikTok video.
Wow. I guess that's obviously just a cultural thing. You know, they speak loud. That's, you know, it's not necessarily a negative stereotype or anything.
No, it's you can't say that. I don't know.
They're passionate.
You got a country with that many people in it, you got to fight to be heard.
I mean, you're... Sounds like a joke, but like that's probably part of it. I mean, there's a billion people over there. You got to speak up.
You got to speak up about the Muslim people. They're herding into concentration camps. I still feel should have more people upset. But I'm not doing shit about it.
I don't know
it,
what you're talking about.
There's Uyghur Muslims. It's a sect of Muslim Asians that are Muslims, and China's rounding them up and forcing them into basically labor camps. Yeah, China's totally fucked as far as the human rights violations go right now. And, you know, like it's all state run media, and if you criticize the leader, you get disappeared. Not unlike Russia. Any criticism, that's why the Hong Kong thing was so huge. It's just, we're just going to disappear you. And now I've, you know, elected to ignore all the news of the last couple weeks. So I don't know. I don't have a side on what happened in Kenosha. I don't have a side on what happened in Portland as far as people getting shot and who started once. I'm getting the fatigue where I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. All you jagoffs, go shoot each other, and everybody else can just live in the suburbs.
It is exhausting trying to keep up with it. It really is.
It's a wrong attitude to have, but that's where I'm at for the time being. I'm like, we've been driving around, going up to Washington, hike, just oblivious. It's by choice. So.
Well, good for you, man. You got to do that sometimes. Where'd you go in Washington?
We went to what was there? Town called Glacial Snowtown. Snowtown, okay. Ski Town. Ski Town, like north, okay. Like 20 minutes away from the Canadian border.
Nice.
It was great. We wound up in the same, it was like only one place to eat in the towns, which they had the same pizza place. for three nights. And it's funny because, like, you go in there and it's like they got this nice menu of, like, and the pizza was good. Chair 9, shout out to Chair 9 over there in Glacier. But they had this menu of, like, oh, cedar plank salmon and all this stuff. And it's a summertime, and it's just summertime snowboarders just stoned and burned out and not giving a shit. And we're like, oh, so we can get this? Yeah, man, we're not really doing the salmon right now. Okay, well, how about the, get a veggie burger? Yeah, man, I think we're, like, out of the veggie burgers right now. And finally the guy's like, jeez, I'll just be honest, we're only doing pizzas, man. I'm like, okay.
Just open with that.
I'm not going to argue with you. I guess I'll have another pizza. But it was fun. We hiked around. It was beautiful. It looked like the Alps. It was gorgeous up that way.
And then man.
We visited my aunt outside of Seattle, and then Rachel's old boss outside of Tacoma. Yeah, it was good. Beautiful country up here. Beautiful.
Did you do any camping or just Airbnbs? What are y'all doing?
No, Airbnb, and then we stayed with my aunt a couple nights and then stayed with her boss a couple nights. But we got some boat rides, some kayaking. I'm into these kayaks, man.
Oh, dude.
I know you're a jet ski guy.
Dude.
I know you're a power sports guy.
No, I'm a kayak guy, too, man.
Oh, yeah?
I love the kayaks.
You getting into the yak?
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, man. Yeah, remember I was on the lake on my birthday. I kayaked three times in one day. It was beautiful.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Remember
you were excited about the jet ski.
Did you do river? Oh, yeah. Well, that kind of overpowered everything. No pun intended. But
right.
don't get it twisted. I love the kayaks. What'd you do? Rivers, lakes? What kind of kayaking?
Just lakes. Nice. A lake the first time. Lake Sammamish.
Uh-huh.
Which sounds almost like some blackface type of stuff. Sammamish. Hmm. And then we're in Puget Sound.
Uh-huh.
So we were, up where we were at in Washington. It was like part of the Puget Sound.
Dude.
So a sound. We were in a sound. A lot of seals. A lot of seals bopping their heads around.
Oh, yeah?
I'm getting into this Northwest lifestyle, though, man.
I love the Northwest, man. I need to spend more time up there. I did that about a year ago. I did like a two-week tour. And that's when I spaced all the dates out by a few days, so I got to camp a whole bunch. And, oh, my God. So up in Mount Rainier, all kind of places. Idaho, Washington, Oregon. Dude, I love that whole area.
Well, we did our run up here. Hey, this should validate. Remember when you almost fought that dork in Bellingham?
Oh, yeah. What you call him? You had a great name for
him. Called him a yogurt ogre.
Yes, yogurt ogre. Yeah, I remember that.
Big, dirty, hippie doofus.
Mm-hmm. Off his flip-flops.
Yeah, kicked off his flip-flops to get in a fight. I couldn't get one off. Looked like a cat with tape on its paw. So I was talking to the guys, like these two dudes at Old Chair 9, you know, my favorite pizza place up in Glacier, Washington. Uh-huh. And they had mentioned something about, like, I was like, yeah, what do you guys get into? And mountain biking. I was talking to them and skiing. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff over in Bellingham, but I don't know, man. You got to deal with people from Bellingham. And I'm like, oh, why? You guys don't like? He's like, nah, they're just kind of, I don't know, just all kind of aggressive and dumb at the same time. I'm like, that's exactly what I found.
That's exactly who that guy was. He was aggressive and very dumb.
But, like, still hippies, not, like, frat bro stuff. But you see them, like, oh, you look like a hippie, so maybe you're not a douchebag. And we were wrong.
Yeah,
it was
absolutely.
Full douche. Just had the camouflage, had the granola camouflage on. But anyway.
Yeah, so had the man bun.
Yeah. It was
nice man bun.
Man bun and Birkenstocks. But it was confirmed by two fellas having beers over at Chair 9 Pizza Parlor. At Bellingham, maybe not great. So sorry if you're from Bellingham. Don't mean to make a sweeping assessment, but I'm, I don't want to say 0-for-3 on my shows up there, but every time I've done shows, it's been a little bit like, all right, you people don't know how to act at a comedy show. Which sometimes.
Yeah, it definitely had that we don't have experience with live entertainment vibe. Like, well, we don't know that we're not supposed to be loud assholes.
Yeah, they weren't erring on the side of respect. It was just like, oh, we're in a bar, so we drink and scream. No, actually, for the comedy show, it's better. So we'll drink and scream then. I guess so. All right. Anyway, that's my knock on Bellingham. It was confirmed by two dudes, two friendly fellas over in Glacier. But I don't know, man. Other than that, yeah, we were up there just yakking, just out yakking. Just cruising on yaks, bro.
Took me a second to get that. Yeah, we're going yakking.
Yeah, we're just cruising on some yaks. Picked up a couple yaks. So, yeah, man. Shopping for used yaks now. That's it.
I got to figure out how to, I don't know. I don't have a lot of storage space, but I need to buy my own kayak, dude. Get a nice used one. Oh, man. Now, did you have the kind – I've noticed – I don't know if there's been a change recently, but back when I used to kayak, like 10, 15 years ago, I had the old school ones where, like, I felt like I was sitting further down, deeper into the vessel. But the ones that we used a couple weeks ago, you're kind of perched on top. Do you know what I mean?
Deep in the vessel. Yeah, there's a...
Yeah, I'm deep.
No, there's a sit-in and there's a sit-on-top. There are two different kinds. You are correct.
Okay. I like the sit-in more than the sit-on-top. I'd never seen the sit-on-top one still recently, and that's the only thing I was disappointed in. Because I just remember that feeling back in the day of like... it just felt like you were, well, you actually were, but just closer down into the water. And that, I enjoyed that feeling. But the other one just felt a little more, you know, being higher, it just felt like, you know, the threat of losing your balance and falling in or whatever just seemed a little greater.
See, I like the flexibility of being on top one, because then I can, like, stretch my knees out if I wanted to. Mm. So,
but yeah.
But hey, to each their own with the yak preferences. What's your yak pref, bro?
Kayak talk.
What's your yak pref?
Okay. What kind of yak you rocking there?
Yeah. What's your yak action? What's your yak-tion, bro?
Oh, man.
Yak attack. That's what I say when I'm wheeling my kayak down to the water very slowly because they're heavy. Watch out, bros. Yak attack.
Yak attack. Oh, man. What else is going on? So you guys are back.
We're back.
Oregon.
We got a house.
How long were you out?
House with no shitters in it. We were gone for a week. We got back yesterday.
Okay.
So we got a house with no shitters down the road. We're in an Airbnb. An apartment.
That sounds like an old country song.
Yeah. House with no shitters isn't a home, I'll tell you that.
I could have made it a home.
Dave will find a place.
5-gallon. Get you a nice 5-gallon Home Depot bucket. You'll be good to go.
We got back there yesterday to look at stuff. I'm like, I'm peeing in the yard, and that's just how it's going to work.
Oh, absolutely.
But so we'll do that, and then we'll be back on the road in a couple days, heading off into going cutting through Utah. We'll see.
Oh, yeah?
We'll see, man.
Oh, you're coming back home? Coming back to L.A. for a little
shutting
bit?
Shutting down the L.A. branch. We're shutting it down for a while.
Oh, man. You know, end of an era.
We're moving headquarters up north for a while.
Okay.
Not
you've been in
not
L.A.
permanent.
How long?
When'd you move? 17 years, man.
03?
03, yeah. 17 years.
Damn.
What about you?
17 years in Los Angeles. I hit 8 years a couple months ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been here 17. That's crazy, man.
Been out there for a minute. Well, I was going to say, you would appreciate the kind of novelty attitude people take towards your friend the Sasquatch up here in the Northwest. Like, there's a lot of...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they adopt it as like a tourist thing. But then a couple people in this little ski area, we just had like a little A-frame place in what's normally ski lodges. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're still ski lodges, you just can't ski. But then I saw, and somebody had like a plywood cutout of the, you know, the Patterson
Gimlin.
OP Gimmels, OP Gimmies, that video?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Had like that silhouette cut out, but like hidden in the trees so it would really catch you.
Like, yeah, I've seen people do that.
That's
and
fucked
I don't
me
like
a couple
that.
Times. That's got
yeah,
me a couple
don't do
times.
That to people.
Get your hopes
I mean,
up.
Do that with like a bear or an elk or something, maybe a giraffe.
Don't squatch tease him. Don't squatch tease Dave.
Yeah. No Squatch tease, man. I don't like the flippant, nonchalant attitude a lot of people have towards Squatch. For example, in marketing, you know, this whole Jack Links campaign making fun of Sasquatch. I just don't like it. He's not to be fucked with.
But it's for beef jerky.
Don't like it at all. Yeah, but still, yeah, it's a little disrespectful. So
to who?
Just make it. To Squatch.
In what way?
They're making light of his existence, or her, and her. There's obviously both. I just don't like. I don't like the disrespect.
Unauthorized use of a brand.
Mm-hmm.
Copyright infringement.
You got to get express written consent from Sasquatch before you.
Dave Stone, cryptid lawyer. It's like some weird along sequel to Men in Black when they do catch the aliens and all the things. They still need to be if they're caught in America, they're still entitled to their rights of due process. So you're the lawyer for the cryptids.
No, but I definitely don't like hoaxers, man. Anybody, there's so many hoax videos out there with Sasquatch.
You send them to me, Dave. I know they're out there because you give them to me, and you're like, "Get a load of this."
Dude, there's some good ones floating around out there. We're gonna have to do a refresher episode. It's been a while since we've touched on Squatch, but
I can't wait for just you on a jet ski chasing Loch Ness Monster now.
Oh.
looking for water Squatch.
Water Squatch. That sounds like a direct-to-DVD movie.
Maybe that's the thing. Maybe Bigfoot lives in a lake and nobody's looking underwater.
There you go. That could be it.
Spends
anything
most
else
of his
going
time.
On, buddy? Everybody good? Good spirits? Everybody healthy?
I think so. I think we're doing all right. Rachel thought she had the Rona. But God,
no.
Did two tests. She's negative. She's had a sore throat.
Okay.
She's feeling kind of run down. It's, there's no time to take chances. So, but she got tested. She's negative. She's sore throat. We're like, nah, it's something else, but not the Rona. So that's good. Funny. I've been drinking and smoking weed, man. Because I'm not.
Oh yeah.
I'm not a big weed smoker, but I have been now for night times.
Yeah.
Oh boy. I came up. This is my new conspiracy theory because I had over at her boss's place, we did Papa Murphy's. You ever have Papa Murphy's, Dave?
Is that the you pick it up and take it home and cook it yourself thing?
Take and bake. Now I could see how this
take and bake.
I could see how this could fall on either side of Dave's living, because then it's like, well, you're not really making the thing yourself, but you can have whatever toppings you want and put as much on it for much less than the price of a fully topped cooked pizza. And I think that maybe they started Papa Murphy's like they were gonna. Oh, I think Rachel's home. Hey, what's up, Toots?
Hi.
It's me talking to Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Oh, God.
She come in with a 12-pack of Coors. I'm drinking your rosé. I actually poured your glass out into mine. I know I'm pretty trash today. Anyway, we got some noise. That's the Coors going into the fridge. Do you want this rosé back?
Nice.
Okay. You don't have to whisper now. Everybody knows you're here.
I don't know if
you're recording. Oh, no, we're recording.
Yeah, don't.
It's a real professional. Yeah, it's a real professional show, Rachel.
Yeah.
And she brought me a beer. What a damn sweetheart. Anyway, I think that the Papa Murphy's, as I will go back to the Papa Murphy's story.
Yeah, don't leave us hanging.
Is that they ran up against some sort of goons saying you want to open pizza place in this town? You got to use our guys to install your ovens. And like, we don't want to use your guys to install the ovens. And they're like, well, then you can't have a pizza place. And they're like, watch us. And they just make it, and you take it to cook at home. But it was very good. And because I did it the other time, I screwed up and was ordering from Fresh Brothers. And apparently I was pretty fucked up when I ordered that because I ordered two pizzas and I guess I ordered one cooked and the other not cooked. And then that was when I, because the guy texted me because it was like, you know, it was the no touch release. And it was, I texted him like, hey, one of these pizzas is not a cooked pizza. And he's like, that's what you ordered. The delivery guy's like, no, it's on the receipt. And I'm like, oh, okay then. And then the guy was like, I'm sorry if you're unhappy with your dinner. I'm like, nah, you're fine. This thing tastes great. Like I had a whole conversation with this guy throughout the night about how I was a mistake. And then I felt bad for accusing him that he brought me the wrong thing. And then he was like, I just want you to have a good dinner. And then I made it and it was really good. I'm like, it actually worked out for the best. He's like, I'm glad. I'm happy for you. So Fresh Brothers.
Is that an option?
Customer service.
That's an option at Fresh Brothers, though,
I guess. No. It was an option. It wasn't like they fucked up and just didn't cook a pizza.
Or like, you know, read your special instructions and was like, well, okay, we don't normally sell uncooked pizza, but this guy, he's a good customer.
Special instructions. Don't you dare cook this. Whatever you do, do not cook my, that goes for the wings, that goes for the breadsticks. Don't let that near any heat whatsoever. I want raw chicken wings. Fully sauced, fully dressed.
But yeah, you and your pizza adventures.
I mean, but then you come home. What do you got at home? You got some olives. You got some onion. You put whatever you want on it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not making a mess. It's not the mess of making a whole pizza, you know?
Yeah, I like to doctor up a frozen pizza. You know, I'll always add a little something to it.
Church it up, yeah.
But,
What's your good times, buddy. Have you made a pizza from scratch ever?
I have not. You know who makes incredible homemade from scratch pizza? Our mutual friend Brian Cook.
Brian Cook that made asshole. Me one of the best. Yeah.
Made me one of the best homemade pizzas I've ever had in my life a few years ago.
I wonder if he's just channeling all of his unlikability into being a good cook.
I think so.
he's our friend. We make the jokes.
He's still miserable.
I don't think that he's not miserable. He takes just great joy in being an asshole to his friends.
Yeah, that's true.
And then it's fun when you're not the friend he's being an asshole to because you get to watch it, but eventually it'll be your turn.
Yeah, eventually the gun's pointed at you.
No, he is a good cook. He does get adventurous. That's what I thought, man. Maybe you're doing
it. But no, I've never done it.
Smoked pizza.
Ooh, okay.
How would you do it? Okay. How does it work? Can you smoke dough and still cook it?
Man, I think it'd have to be a thing, kind of like a reverse sear, or rather a sear. The way you would sear a steak is you cook it for real, you know, the first half, and then second half, you take it, you back off a little bit. So I'm thinking maybe you bake the pizza. You make the pizza normally, and you bake it like halfway. You pull it out early and throw it in the smoker. Let it finish in the smoker.
So you may whip up some easy dough just to experiment with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I've never seen that pizza out there, like a smoked biscuit. Smoked pretzels. Pretzels just dough anyway. Because the smoke, what cooks it? Like, it's still hot, right, when you're smoking something? It's still heat.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's still, you know, the lowest you could smoke something for the most part is like 180, 200 degrees. You know, that's still heat, you know. It's still getting it done. Now, there's a thing called cold smoking. Like, people cold smoke cheese. And I didn't know what that was at first. Yeah, and somebody explained to me. It just means it's obviously not cold, but they're smoking at a real low temperature, like 150.
Okay.
So, I mean, I guess relatively speaking, that's cold. But just that phrase really boggled my mind when I was trying to figure out how the hell would you cold smoke something.
Dave, but that just means smoke cooking pizza, man.
Man, that sounds good. And definitely you could, smoke some all your toppings, you know. I mean, pepperoni's already kind of smoked, but get you all your toppings. You could smoke those separately and throw those on there. That'd be good.
I mean, people do barbecue pizza. That's been my new thing for pizza. Barbecue sauce, pineapples, jalapenos on it.
Okay. I'm not mad at that.
I was eating so much. I was always a little leery of getting like a sweet pizza, but I've been eating so much pizza. Mm-hmm. Like I already eat a lot of pizza, and then I feel like I've been eating even more lately. Just being on the road and not on the road, but like traveling, and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna throw a wild card. Give me barbecue sauce instead of marinara. It's a good move.
Okay.
If you're looking to experiment, if you're looking
like
to
that.
Roll up, like try it on a cheap pizza, like a Domino's or something first mm-hmm. before you.
Yeah. Yeah, before you drop the big bucks on it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Charlie's got a new. We bought Charlie this little tunnel, this little circular play tunnel, mm-hmm. and now he's just been fucking it for the last 2 days. He gets in there and he does something. His libido's back. Oh, yeah, I hadn't seen him hump anything in a long time, but now I'm sorry. I know if you could hear that noise, but he was really laying into it. Charlie, you want to knock that off, buddy?
I don't think I can hear your dog fucking a tunnel.
Okay. All
right. What'd you call it? A fun tunnel?
A little fuck tunnel.
That's his fuck tunnel.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, got some ambient noise today. Got the windows open. It's hot as shit.
Same thing. I got I got the Chinese TikToker outside. So we're making do on with these changing environments that we're moving to and fro from.
Yeah, you gotta be able to adapt, dude. I'm still looking at property all over the country. Just I don't want to get into this right now. We talk enough about it, but I feel like civil war is coming, man, and I. Did I tell you this? Like, it was the concept that I never thought as an American I would fall under this category. But I guess the most succinct way to say it is there's a chance one day soon that wherever you're at in America, you might be a refugee. Just think about that. Just having to flee, having to get the hell out. So I can't get off Zillow, man. Just looking at homes all over the damn place. Just want to find some nice little cheap something on top of a hill. Just leave me the hell alone.
I think that's the difference between you and other refugees is that you can look at Zillow to decide. I don't think other refugees, I don't know what the Wi-Fi is like on those abandoned shipping containers they're rowing across the Mediterranean.
No, I know that.
I don't know if they can check the Redfin to see where they want to wind up.
I'm trying to take preemptive measures. I'm looking at Zillow so I don't become a refugee. Yeah, no. Woe is me.
And I think refugees get to call Allied van lines to help them move their stuff to the new location.
Oh, God.
But no, I get it. Like I was saying, I kind of checked out. We've been just moving and hanging out. I'm like, I'm not going to look at this stuff. I'll look at a little bit of it, but whatever the Kenosha stuff was, I'm like, man, I don't. I just don't. Well, it feels bad. I'm like, I don't. It sucks, and I don't know what to do. So,
well, I know what you mean. It feels like a moral dilemma because, you know, you want to stay informed. You want to support the causes, you know, and but at the same time, it's like I feel like a real dipshit. Like, oh, I'm exhausted from watching this stuff on the news. And then it's like, well, what if you were living it, asshole? You know, what about the people who are actually living it, getting their hands dirty day to day and all this shit? But you know, at the same time, I'm just trying to find that balance of like, yeah, okay, let me peek at it, stay informed, but man, too much of it will just really start to mess with your whole personality.
Yeah, it defines you. It defines your attitude every day. I mean, that's like, you know, I do a family Zoom every Monday, and my parents, it's like only a matter of time before they wind up into some sort of like, well, fucking Trump wants to do this. I'm like, what? What is the anger serving you if you're not doing something about it?
Yeah.
If you're just going to sit there and be angry without inaction, then you can choose to just not pay attention to it if you're not going to do anything otherwise. I mean, vote, do the business, but yeah, that's why I said, like, I already know how I'm voting and So me getting angry about any of this stuff, you know, donate my money to where I want to donate my money. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
One thing I'm doing to support is and I know you don't care nothing about this, but I've been watching a lot of NBA, the NBA playoffs, partly because I'm a sports fan, but partly just to piss off the far right. The NBA, I don't know if you heard, they went on a strike, a two-day strike last week, just in response to the Kenosha stuff. And, I love seeing the right-wingers get pissed off at the quote-unquote spoiled millionaires, you know. But I love it, man. Like, they're millionaire athletes. They're still people. They still have a platform. They still have a influential status over a great percentage of our population. So I'm proud of them. I'm glad they did that. But just some of these idiots that wouldn't even watch the NBA anyway, I just love that they're mad that someone's trying to peacefully protest. Like, what the hell do you care? But people are they're losing their minds over, I can't believe they're disrespecting our country. How are they disrespecting the country? By taking a couple days strike just to shine a light on some continued injustice. I get a real kick out of that.
Even that shit. I'm glad the players are doing it. But even that's like, man, cool. But doesn't the NBA make so much of its money from China? They ain't protesting. What's that? They ain't protesting human rights violations going on over there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Nike, all these companies coming out like in support of Black Lives Matter. Like, we respect everybody. Cool. Where's your product made? How much do you pay the people that assemble your product?
Yeah.
Tell me that. Yeah. Tell me what you're doing for your own employees. Mm-hmm. You know, tell me, USA needs to come together. Cool. Then manufacture stuff here. Then bring manufacturing over here. You know, that's the whole, like, people like, we gotta defend capitalism. Capitalism is the reason somebody in China is making your iPhone for 10 cents a day.
Yeah.
So don't, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point. Idea.
Nobody's stealing your job. The boss who decided to get it made for cheaper overseas stole your job. Your American capitalist boss did that. So that's why I'm getting further and further away from left side, right side politics, and just like it's take down the rich. It's take that percentage of rich people that own much wealth. There's no red or blue with them. It's all green, and that's who you need to fucking take down and let everybody have a livable wage. Give people more money to do the jobs in the country that you want to see succeed.
That's a good point. And speaking of civil war, and that's not the topic today, but just touching on it briefly. In the event that ever came to fruition, that this country is in a civil war, I mean, obviously, my question is, do you think it's going to be left versus right or rich versus poor?
No, it's going to be poor versus poor.
Poor versus poor.
Well, rich is smart enough to pit the poor versus the poor. Do you think the fucking anybody supporting Black Lives Matter and whatever hillbillies are rolling up out of the country in their pickup trucks they're in the same tax bracket?
Mm-hmm.
They have more in common than they realize. But it's been I'm at the point where like, oh, this has all been doctored to create some sort of chaos that will still funnel into all politicians retaining the amount of power they have. There's maybe a few of them. I feel like maybe AOC is in there fighting the good fight, and Bernie was fighting a good fight for actual change for things. But I don't, I have no partisanship with my politics really anymore. I don't think, I think it's, yeah, it's poor people fighting poor people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How yeah, that?
It's
that's
scary, man.
That's the thing. The, you know, a good judge of character is how do you treat somebody who can't do anything for you.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. look how this country treats anybody that can't afford medical bills, can't afford, you know, basically like teachers have to buy their own supplies for the classroom. It's like we treat them like shit. We treat poor people like shit.
Mm-hmm.
Poor people are incredibly, they're the only reason that anything gets done in this country.
Yeah.
That's why somebody made a good observation about how Uber was going to fail because they had to qualify all their employees or all their drivers as employees and not just like gig economy or independent contractors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, we're going to go under if we have to treat them all as employees. It's like, yeah, what does that say about your business?
Yeah.
If paying your employees and taking care of your employees means the business will collapse. It means it was a mm-hmm. shit business that was yeah. taking advantage of people.
Well, it's the same argument mm-hmm. you hear now about, these people are making more collecting unemployment than they did at their jobs. Well mm-hmm. whose fault is that?
Yeah. Go you know, take a look at
pay them a living wage.
Yeah, go take a look at how much living expenses went up versus how much the minimum wage went up.
Yeah,
go take a look at how much college went up.
Yeah. 11 years.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, that's insane.
Anyway, you got any fun stuff? You want to talk about fun stuff? You seen any ghosts?
Man, I got something weird. I want you to look at. I sent you a link.
I like weird stuff.
Dude, I don't know why this really caught my attention. I've never seen anything like this, but I've seen ever since I saw it this week, I've seen a few different companies selling these very realistic human prosthetic masks, these rubber masks. I'm on a company now called, I don't know how you would pronounce it, URH mask,
Ur mask. You're a mask, yeah.
Your
intellectual property rights. I'm glad that is one of the first things they talk about.
What's that?
Just the fact that they have to mention intellectual property rights. I just wonder if it's about making a mask that looks like a human being that looks too close to like somebody else.
How creepy is this, dude? I've never seen, you know, you see these, you know, around Halloween time, you see like the old man mask or the baby mask or, you know, celebrity mask. But like this shit, this looks like, you know, Hollywood grade special effects. And it's $40. You can get one for $40 at URHMASK.com, yourmask.com, ermask.com.
Well, they're selling a lot of bullshit on here, too. It's weird.
But like, I don't know how. Like, you see the bald guy. There's the basic model is just a beardless bald man who probably looks to be about 60, 65. But then there's another one down there that's got the mask itself has hair and eyebrows and a mustache. It looks like a Jerry Stiller. Looks like a younger Jerry Stiller. This one I'm looking at. But dude, this is gonna cause some trouble. Down the line with like identity.
Well, you don't even need the mask because you could just do a deep fake. You could just do a deep fake digital. That's the thing that I'm creeped out about is how they're gonna like, and now a video of someone talking, a political figure saying a thing, we're gonna have to be like, no, that's actually fake. How is that gonna work when that happens? Just a digitally manipulated.
I didn't know
anything
about.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about that concept till a few months ago when deep fake started showing up. And I saw that one of the original ones where they did it to Bill Hader and made him look like Tom Cruise.
And he was doing doing impersonations on the Tonight Show or something.
He was doing impressions, and somebody doctored this film of him. And when he started to impersonate Tom Cruise, like, his face subtly changed. And it was I was never heard of deep fake stuff. It was real late. I was real high, and boy, I almost cranked my noodle. Just my brain was really confused.
No, I saw that one. Like, what did this website?
Like, imagine showing that to an old person. I mean, like, really, you think you're going crazy? Like, what's happening here? How's that possible?
That's okay. That's exactly what you're saying. Is every old person's on Facebook doesn't realize that shit can just be made up and spread out in the world, and it can be made to look like an official news story with a headline. Well, the reason people buy Onion headlines is because it looks like it's the news. And you get somebody old enough that doesn't know what the Onion is, like, well, that's a real news source. I can't believe this happened. And it's funny to laugh at somebody that buys into that, but now more and more, you know, there's enough stories about Russian hackers that just have thousands of Twitter accounts that just put whatever message they want to be out there. That just looks like an individual. It looks like a person. Mm-hmm. They make it look real. That's a level of policing that is going to be very, I'm very curious what, like, going to have like, it's cyber cops. We're going to have cyber cops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be like, this is fake. This is fake. This thing's fake. I wonder if the backlash will be people like, I just don't go on the internet anymore. Like, they'll unplug. Maybe.
That's got to be a thing already. And I could see it being more of a thing in the future. Like, at some point, the same way, you know, every 20th person you meet brags about not having a television. Like, I could definitely see people. Well, then there's going to be a name for it. It'll be some. Yeah. It'll come up with some phrase, but just completely off the grid, off the electrical grid. You know, off the e-grid, so to speak. You know, maybe not off the grid in the traditional sense, but
off,
like,
the web.
No, we don't. Well, yeah, off the web.
Just, I know there's some phones that you can get that are specifically like email, text. I would like email, text, and maps. I do like the maps. Maps is helpful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, there's. I think there are some phones that are specifically tapered or simplified. It'll get
well,
there,
man. This is a good segue into our topic today, because the complete opposite of that, whatever you would call, you know, completely getting off the web and not having any participation in it in your lifestyle. The complete opposite of that could be what Elon Musk is trying to do now. And I've heard about this, but I never really done any research until this week about it. But Neuralink, I keep hearing that phrase tossed around. And how familiar are you with Neuralink? Do you know what he's trying to do here?
I saw a couple headlines, but I don't. Elon Musk is getting to the point where I think we're going to. I really don't know. He seems like he has the potential to be a supervillain.
Well, yeah. Potential. I'm still on the fence, though. I'm on the fence about him because it seems like he's doing productive stuff. You know, stuff that could, I don't know if what we're going to talk about today falls under that category, but it seems like he's trying to better humanity, or is that me being naive?
No, it seems like it, but he also seems like enough of a weirdo
mm-hmm.
that he could go off and do something nutty. Like, I feel like he has the brains and the money and maybe a detached sense of morality.
Mm.
And that sounds okay. That sounds more accusatory than I want it to be. But it feels like he could be maybe a little bit compromised. You know,
yeah, like maybe
you got,
putting
you got fucking Kanye West running for office.
Ethics.
Yeah, you got Kanye West going, I'm going to run for office. And you're going to have enough people that want it, but that are just yes men that want to make money. Like, cool, here's the campaign. And that could fuck things up, throwing a bonkers celebrity in there. And again, you got.
Yeah, it sure could.
Everybody says, like, oh, it's important that you vote. You got a lot of idiots that vote.
Of course.
I mean, I don't have to lay. A game show host is the president. Some people voted because they thought that might be a real good chance he does something. And other people are like, this is hilarious. They voted as trolls.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, fuck yeah, burn it down, man. Let's watch this chaos. That is a sect of humanity that's a full incel joker type of watch it all burn type of thing. So maybe, hopefully it's all for good. That's what I think. But he also does. He put one of his cars in space just because he could do it. What other things is he going to do just because he can do it?
Well, this is what he's doing now with Neuralink.
As I've spoken so much without knowing anything about Neuralink. Sorry.
Neuralink, it's a device that can be surgically implanted directly into your brain. And with that, you'll be able to communicate with machines and maybe even control them with just your mind. Now, I don't know exactly what that means. But I think, in layman's terms, I think like if you had this chip... you know, instead of talk to text, you know, you could definitely he's talking about hooking it up to your phone or your computers, your devices and stuff. So and I don't know that this is a fact, but I'm assuming an example would be like instead of talk to text, you could think to text like, hey, I'm going to send Kyle a text. But instead of speaking or writing it down or doing it or typing it out, you're just thinking it. And I feel like that's going to create some problems if people are like. If you can dictate one's thoughts, like because then it's gonna you're trying to write a letter to somebody, and then tits and barbecue keeps popping up, and that's gonna be trouble.
old Mike O'Connell joke. It's like I've got a photographic memory, except it only takes pictures of tits and gin.
Oh man, what else this Neuralink is supposed to do? They say it's gonna. It's going to help study the electrical signals in the brain and arrive at solutions that can help cure various medical problems. So the initial launch, the initial application, he says, is going to be in the medical realm as far as helping any brain injury, but also and I don't know enough about I know this is shocking. I'm not I don't know enough about neuroscience. But limb function, it's going to help paraplegics, people like that.
What, did they put it in a pig first?
Yes, he had a demo a couple days ago.
They know what the pig's thinking?
I watched that demo, and they had three pigs. They had one that was the control group that didn't have anything done to it. They had another pig that had the Neuralink for a while and then had it removed. And then they had one, Gertrude, was the third pig, that had the actual Neuralink in the brain.
They literally did the three little pigs with the Neuralink.
Yeah, they sure did. And, I mean, a lot of the science is obviously above my head, but basically – they were showing like the computer printout, a digital printout of just the brain's behavior. Like they had some, we're talking about how they had it somehow connected to the pig's snout. So when it's walking around sniffing different food and whatnot, you could see the change, the spikes in the brain. So I watched his 2-hour demo and understood about three things that he said. But I got some notes here. With Neuralink, it's basically, they're calling it an N1 chipset. And it'll be installed into your skull. And the thing is about 8 millimeters in diameter. And so what they would, it's about the size of, I don't know, probably like a penny or a nickel. So to give you kind of an idea. So they would. And this procedure is so meticulous and advanced and so delicate that they've developed a robot specifically to administer the surgery or to handle it. So he says that the technique is so delicate that human hands could never be the best surgeon in the world couldn't learn how to do it properly. So they've developed a robot And it, they say it ultimately, he says it could be done in a couple of hours. It could be like an outpatient surgery. And and he also said with no anesthesia.
You're going to give me a brain trip to control robots with my mind? Take your time.
Let me just explain how it works real quick. Basically, the easy example would be like in The Matrix when Keanu Reeves, he downloaded a program in his brain and then he knew how to do karate. So it's kind of that. That's not going to teach you how to do karate, I don't think, at first. But
I don't want it.
In order to understand how Neuralink works,
Brain implant? Come on, man.
Understand that the brain sends information to different parts of your body using neurons. These neurons in your brain, they connect with each other to form a large network and communicate using chemical signals called neurotransmitters. And this reaction generates an electric field, and you can record these reactions by placing electrodes nearby. So this little nickel-sized piece that goes into your skull, a better description looking at this picture, kind of looks like a watch battery, like a little circular watch battery. So that goes into your skull, and then there's these little bitty wires, little bitty threads that are like 10 times thinner than the width of a human hair. So these little bitty little threads, and then those kind of branch off into certain parts of your brain to get close to these neurons. And you could, someone could have as many as 10 of these installed into their brain.
He's going to have 10, and he's going to go crazy, but he's going to be able to, like, launch missiles if he wants or do anything. And then he's going to be the emperor of the world. He's like, don't piss off Elon Musk, because he could just turn your stove on without you being home and blow up your house from his mind. He's going to be a fucking X-Men. He's going to be the dude in a wheelchair or whatever. Power goes to everybody's head. I don't mean that as a literal joke, given a Neuralink is going in your brain.
But it's crazy, like, I don't know, man. I'm just thinking of, like, all the problems that this could cause, even... Like, imagine, like, the fraud issues. Like, I don't know. I'm sure there's a way eventually that someone will figure out how to use this for bad.
Well, that's the fear of every technology that comes. You can feel like, saw some picture of, like, sometime in the 1800s or whatever. It was like, the dangers of electricity. And it just showed people getting shocked by power lines. And it's the same thing with people thinking 5G causes corona. So we're on that spectrum. We're like, well, I don't know about this. And that's any new technology is going to scare people. But I do feel like this is the future that we thought was going to happen, but it turned out a lot dumber. You know, like the robots are taking over, and it's like, it's just not. Or I'm wrong, which I know I'm wrong. And there is really cool shit going on, but it's happening on such a uninterestingly small level that it's not coming through to basic idiots like you and me.
Yeah.
Like someone's figuring out how to solve paralysis on a molecular level with machines, but that progress is slow and possibly uninteresting to the public. So there is that positivity happening out there and people doing good things with it. But, you know, we only see the big headlines of, you know, on where you choose to source your news from. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing off the top of my head that I think this could be used for good. Imagine, and I'm sure eventually this might be the case, but what if you had this chip in your brain and then you could speak any language? You download some update. And now you go to the mall, you could talk to the Chinese guy in his foreign tongue. You could talk to
this lady making a TikTok video out here.
You could talk to, you know, a Mexican dude. You could talk to a European dude, you know, whatever. Like, but just having access, that would be pretty remarkable to, on a dime, just be able to pivot, like, okay, now I know German, now I know Chinese, now I know whatever. Like,
But that's those little tidbits of having, you know, a smartphone or your computer where, like, oh, shit, right away I can say a sentence into this and it'll translate for me? Mm-hmm. Or is it going to be you're going to have a Neuralink, and then every device you buy for the rest of your life has an app that you got to download so you can control your coffee maker from your mind?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. How everything's like, it's a smart toaster. I don't give a fuck. I don't need an app for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything, yeah. gotta have an app, and then you gotta have your own device. And there's gonna be a discount Neuralink that some people have, and it's not compatible with the other Neuralink. You're gonna need charger. You're gonna have to find the wrong charger for your Neuralink, and you'd be left in a foreign country not knowing how to speak the language. I don't know what I'm talking about, Dave. I think. What would you do with it? What would you be most excited to do with a Neuralink?
I mean, the language thing would be cool, but not like I'm conversing with all types of people from all over the world. But I don't know, I'm not saying I'm eager to get this done. I'm just trying to spitball the benefits of it beyond like the medical stuff. But being able to, you know, speak any language would be nice. Being able to, you know, to do math, calculate stuff, you know, advanced stuff, just boom, just on a dime in your mind.
Being able
rather
to do
than
math.
Whip out a calculator.
You could do math.
Yeah, you know,
now.
Like no, I could do math. I'm saying
what
doing
long division
doing really
are you coming into contact
shit.
With on a daily basis that oh shit. Times tables, I'm probably gonna have to get a Neuralink. I could never figure out 20% to save my life on a bill. Let me get a Neuralink.
I'd love to be able to multiply.
I can tip correctly.
No, but I'm just saying, like, being able, regardless of how much you used it, like, but just knowing that you could solve any equation, you know, any math problem, any language thing, maybe have a better vocabulary. You download the Thesaurus app into your chip there, and just you become more well-spoken.
Well, are you well-spoken, or you just have a translator that's a robot that's smarter than you? Like, I like the language.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree with that. But if you're just using it to sound pompous, you're going to get slapped a lot. Oh, I've so very meticulously intruded upon your leisurely slumberance right now. I'll kick your ass. Turn off your fucking brain chip. Talk to me like Dave.
What would that do, though, if you
did
have all those
capabilities? It's like when Homer gets the crayon stuck in his nose and becomes a genius. That's all a Neuralink is. It's a Simpsons episode where Homer gets a crayon jammed in his nose.
What would that do?
Or take it out of his nose. I'm sorry to interfere with my Simpsons memories.
To like, and we may already face this problem, you know, with the access to the internet. But what would that do, say, hypothetically, to like the education system? If anybody could just have this chip and have the answer to everything, like, I wonder how that would change traditional education as far as, you know, earning degrees and grades and tests and stuff if everybody just has access to all the information. And I know we have that now, but now you still got to at least Google something. But I'm saying, like, in milliseconds, be able to just have any information you'd want.
But that's the difference between just having access to the information and then extracting from that information methods and processes like, oh, you know all the history. Great. How can you apply things that happened through history to what's happening now to dictate policies and to be like, so you got a chip so you know all of history. Well, great. We're going to vote on this measure that bans plastic bags in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just because you have all the history in your mind doesn't mean you will know to go specifically to, actually in Peru in 1963, they had an issue regarding environmental thing where they did this. That's the difference between having knowledge but being intelligent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like somebody having a motorcycle but not knowing how to ride the motorcycle. Then fucking, it's not doing you any good if you don't know how to do the thing.
Yeah.
And right now we're putting the science fiction ideas into the Neuralink. I think, if it is the same as just having your phone already, just quicker response times. I mean, I'm sure you could look up how to take out an appendix on your phone. It doesn't mean that you have the nuance. And again, just because you can look up how to take out an appendix, do you know how to make an incision? Do you know how to clean a wound? Do you know how to suture a wound? There's so many other elements there to know about. I don't know. Fucking Neuralink would help me get through this thought. I'll tell you that much.
Well, I mean, basically, this would be an example of like us becoming, you know, biotic in terms of just having computerized assistants in our brain. And like, what would that do? Well, we're already seeing that now with technology. But like, OK, imagine you had this and granted, I'm taking liberties with what it's capable of. But I'm just in the future, you'll be able to do everything. But imagine you had this and you had access to all the information. What would that do to your emotional state or your creative state, those parts of your brain? How would that affect? The same way we're getting dumber now in the sense that, you know, when you and I were 20 or, you know, 19 or 20, I could spit off 30 different phone numbers. I knew the phone number of 25, 30 different people. Now I don't even know my fiance's phone number. Like and just the way the way people communicate, today. I'm sure there's been studies done on this, but the fact that everybody texts and emails, like I'm sure our ability to look a human being in the eye and carry on a decent conversation has dwindled as technology has risen.
Well, incels, you know, you got incels that are just going to get their mind warped by what the idea of sex and love is by pornography, and then not develop the social skills to go out and meet an actual woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then think that any rejection is just a criticism of their entire existence instead of the fact that that's just how the world works. Not everybody gets to date everybody else whenever they want. Yeah. And instead of looking inward, like, oh, maybe this is my problem, and maybe I can, it's like, nah, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to fucking beat off, and I'm going to get pizza delivered so I don't have to go out and interact with people. And that's going to shape their, you know, their attitude towards the world. Because, again, that's the access to information, but without any of the social thing, like just like what you're saying. What is that going to do to creativity? Like, I mean, like going out and seeing somebody painting a picture instead of taking a picture.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that often. It's like, you know, what the priorities have shifted. Well, it's about, I went here, look at it, share it, get likes.
Well, in terms of creativity, I mean, they're already doing things now where I heard some story recently where these bots will like watch every episode of a show, and then by the end of it, the bot has figured out how to write an episode, or write a song. You know, listen to enough songs, and the bot knows how to write or craft a song.
I mean, that's. I don't think any popular music is any sort of creative breakdown, especially like we find out like what a 1-4-5 chord progression is in music. And it's just like, it's like, I want to be sedated. Da, 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 da. That's 1-4-5 is the position on a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll hear that in song after song after song. There's only so many notes you can play. Now, how it sounds, you can change what the sounds are like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you got, you know, Brian Wilson out there recording the ocean with a microphone or whatever. You know, you can mess with the sound and the landscape. But that's why there's only so many notes on any instrument that you can play that are compatible.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why, like, I don't like EDM and I don't like that, but it is something new. They took music and put it through machines and created a new sound. Mm-hmm. So even though I don't like to listen to it, I kind of, that's, somebody got me when that was like making fun of Skrillex or dubstep. And somebody gave me that explanation. Like, yeah, I don't like it, but I like that somebody made new music.
And yeah, I give them that.
That's a way to look at, like, weird digital art. There's actually a guy When I was in a band, there was a guy named Mass Giorgini, and he was a recording engineer in Indiana, but his dad was a professor and pioneered mathematical art, where he would, it was like a math equation, like I can't explain this to save my life. You know, like a x-axis, y-axis type of thing, and parabolas and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
It was something where he'd put a math equation into that and program each section to be a different color, and it would create these kind of psychedelic patterns, but it was created from math. It wasn't created from like, oh, I just want to see these colors next together. It was math that made the art. And I thought that was like a cool thing. That's why, like, I can't get, as much as it's easy to make fun of DJs and shit, they are kind of like, oh, you made A and this other person made B. I'm going to take A and B and I'm going to make C from those two things. And that's, I mean, that's, that's everything. I mean, that's what you do in a kitchen. Nobody in a kitchen is like, how dare you put a new ingredient in this sauce? It can only be sauce if it has these five ingredients. If you have a sixth ingredient, it's not sauce anymore. Well, that's not true at all. Why should it be true for, you know, other music or anything like that? Oh, boy. I accidentally drank a rant beer.
But yeah, like, well, they've done that with music. What is that? Math rock, math metal.
Yeah.
Where they come up with it via, you know, equations and stuff, the Fibonacci sequence or whatever, that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Or even just different timing. Know, we're so used to like 4-4 time. That's what everybody knows with music. It's 1-2-3-4. 1-2. Fuck. Listen to 3-4 time music, and I'm like, I don't know when to tap my foot. I don't know how to relax and enjoy some Iron Maiden songs because it's like 7-8 time.
Yeah.
And so I never know when to bang my head appropriately. But that's because that those are musicians who are challenging themselves. Like, yeah, I can play bar chords, but I'm good at this instrument and I want to challenge myself more and more. And that's all mathematics right there. Wait, how did we get here? How did me and you start talking about math so much? We ain't math folk. We ain't math folk. This one's for this one's for all the book learning boogers out there.
All right, to wrap this up, would you ever consider having this done, getting Neuralink implanted in your brain?
No, well, I'd have to see I'd have to see it happening.
Yeah, I'm not, you know.
Well, it was like the same with an iPhone or everything else, where everything just became easier if I had it, then I gave into it.
Yeah.
Just like Mac stuff. I'm like, at one point, non-Mac stuff was always getting viruses and it was complicated and it wasn't linking up with a whatever BlackBerry phone or anything. And I was like, man, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I just need everything to work together, because I'm not smart enough and patient enough to deal with combating technologies, you know? So I'm like, give me an iPhone, give me the MacBook, and it'll all work together, theoretically. So eventually I feel there's going to be a point where, like, well, man, you want to go to this restaurant? Sure. Quick, think your order right now so it'll be ready. And I'm like, oh, I don't have to go there and actually look at a menu. But I haven't read about it yet. The most information I've gotten is from you right now. And I'll wait and see how this plays out. That's what I'm going to say. What about you?
Yeah. The same. You know, I don't have a knee-jerk reaction one way or the other. I mean, it's easy to be like, fuck no, I'd never do that. But, yeah, it's the same thing with, like you said, with iPhones and stuff. Like, you're compromising your privacy and your whatever by using some of this stuff already. So any of the dangers or negatives, you know, it feels like it's probably not far from what we're already experiencing. So, I mean, I would definitely be, I wouldn't be the first. I'd be kind of like how I was with the iPhone. I was one of the last of my peer group to have an iPhone and finally gave in. So yeah, I wouldn't be one of the first batch of patients, but yeah, who knows? You know, we see all the things it could do, and mm-hmm. how it could make life easier. Who knows?
Well,
you know, I'm not ruling it out.
I wonder how many anti-vax, like Bill Gates just wants you to have a microchip so he can track you, or like, man, Elon Musk's really doing cool stuff, man. We're all going to have brain implants to control stuff. Like, yeah, there's no way that's the same. I'm still fascinated with the people that think Bill Gates wants to microchip people so he can track them. Like, what the fuck are you doing that, A, you think anybody's interested where you are, and B, that you can't yeah. be found in a half a day?
Yeah.
Oh, you work cash only in our cash only operation with no terrestrial address, and the YouTube video you just made isn't connected to an email account with an IP address? Get the fuck out of here. You know what I started watching last night was real good. It's Cobra Kai.
Changing Dude, gears. I've been meaning to watch that.
I'm putting the landing gears now with some positive recommendations. I got real into it last night.
Okay. Now, is this the same one that was on YouTube about a year ago? It's just now Netflix, or is this like a season two?
No. It was the new season on Netflix, and they got all the YouTube ones to put on there. Because I was like, I'm not going to sign up for another streaming service, but I really am curious how they did this. And I heard they did it well. And that movie was a lot to me. I was a suburban youth karate kid. You know, that movie was... I think I saw that movie... I know I specifically saw Karate Kid Part 2 in, Glen Ellen. Oh, there's an old-timey theater in Glen Ellen that I saw it at. I'm sure I saw the first one in the theater somewhere, too. But it's, you're going to dig it. It hits all the nostalgia real well.
Okay.
William Zabka, Sweep the Leg Johnny guy, the villain.
Oh, Johnny, is yeah.
basically a more rooted... In reality, what's his name? What's Kenny Powers? Is that actor's name? But you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, I was thinking of the character, and I almost said it's Kenny Powers. I was thinking the actor's name. Yes. I know what the fuck is his name?
I can't clank on my computer because my setup's very sensitive right now. But whatever his name is.
Anyway.
John, look, I got to know. I'm looking it up. Kenny Powers.
Here, I'll look it up.
All right, you look it up. But I'll tell you, he's basically like a more grounded version of him.
Danny McBride.
Danny McBride, yeah. Just a washed up dickhead.
Okay.
But the way they flip, the way every... And granted, I was into whatever this white wedding weed was that I got. So I was like, I was in the zone where I was like, I'm going to watch this. I already know I like it because it's based on a story that I like and it's nostalgic.
Mm-hmm.
And it did not disappoint because Daniel LaRusso is now the successful guy after his championship win back in the day.
Uh-huh.
And William Zabka's down and out. And
the All-Valley Karate Champion.
All-Valley Karate Champion went on to turn that mm-hmm. in to a successful chain of car dealerships.
Nice.
William Zabka, who's crime, but then you get his backstory before he was a bully in high school and why he became a bully and how Cobra Kai appealed to, like, downtrodden kid. I think I almost finished the first season last night. They're short. They're, like, less than a half hour. It's good, man. I think you would dig it. If you like Karate Kid.
Okay. Dude, I saw Karate Kid. No joke. Karate Kid is the movie I've seen the most.
You got to watch. You got to watch Cobra Kai.
In no particular order, Karate Kid, Rocky IV, and Goodfellas, and maybe Heat.
Rocky
I've seen
IV.
More than any other movie. I bet I've seen. Rocky IV. It just hit me right in the sweet spot, right in that age.
Which one's Rocky IV?
Rocky IV was my jam. Is where the Russian, when the Russian kills Apollo Creed.
Oh, and Dolph
Rocky
Lundgren.
Goes over to Russia to fight him. Yeah, Dolph Lundgren.
What the hell happened in 3? I thought name? That was Rocky 2. How many more Rockies? What happened in the
Rocky,
other?
Rocky 3 was Glubber Lang, Mr. T. Rocky 2 was Apollo Creed back and forth. Rocky 1's kind of the origin story, or Rocky 1, Rocky. Rocky 2 is, I think he fights Creed in the original and in 2. But yeah, Three is Mr. T. Four is Dolph Lundgren. Five is Tommy Morrison. And then
I thought he just fought all those guys in one movie because I think I got it confused with Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. I sincerely thought.
Bald Bull.
I thought Rocky just fought everybody because it's a movie about boxing. It can't be about one fight. He's got to fight a bunch of guys. So Rocky 1 was like, oh, he became Rocky. And then Rocky 2 through 4 is just one movie to me. Where yeah. he beats everybody in America and he's got to fight a Russian guy. And it then really, also, and then really, also, I get the film Ruskies confused in there somehow. Because then Dolph Lundgren lost, and he defected to America, and some youths picked him up. I don't know.
Rocky IV was basically my introduction to the concept of death. Like when Apollo Creed died, it hit me hard. Like it really did. So much so that I used to rewatch the movie, hoping that maybe he doesn't die this time. Maybe I'm watching a different director's cut, I took that loss pretty hard.
I watch movies hoping for different outcomes. Mm-hmm. Also,
yeah.
So, like, as much as I want to make fun, I've done that. Like, oh, maybe this time around. That's a sign of a good movie, where you can still suspend your own disbelief, even though your belief is that you know how the movie ends because you saw it already. But like, man, maybe this time.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think you're gonna dig Cobra Kai. It's easily bingeable.
Okay.
Zapka's funny in it. Just washed up scumbag.
Are any of the other characters? Is Elizabeth Shue's character show up?
Not yet. I heard that they're thinking about, like, now that it's kind of a successful show, that she might show up in it. But it's Zabka, it's Johnny, it's Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel's mom shows up in it.
Okay.
I think
she was funny. I always liked her.
I'm not sure if the guy
what
from
What about Johnny Sensei?
I don't know. Like they do some flashbacks and some clips of the original movie. But they keep hinting at it. Is that guy alive? I don't even know if that guy's alive.
Yeah, well, as of recently, because he was showing up in some commercials kind of as that character. There's some commercial, like some low rent, like what's that stupid insurance company that Shaq does? It's not that, but it was something
the general.
In that tier. Yeah, you know how that just seems like a lower tier product? It was something in that realm, and it was that actor like in a black karate gi, like as like, hey, remember me, the karate guy.
Really?
Yeah, he was kind of playing. Yeah, he was kind of playing that character.
Now, are you okay with that, or are you against it?
Oh, I'm fine.
Well, you got you're upset with Bigfoot selling.
Well, Bigfoot. That's something. Bigfoot's sacred, you know? That's what I'm trying to say. It's just show Bigfoot some respect and just don't mock and humiliate Bigfoot for the sake of beef jerky. But no, I don't mind if that D-list actor is in some commercials. That doesn't bother me.
Fair enough. Well, then yeah, I feel like it seems like they're playing it like he's going to show up again. But it's good. I think it's well done. I think it's an interesting story if you're a fan of the original movie.
Okay.
But that's the shout out I wanted to give that I got the thing I got excited about was Cobra Kai on Netflix.
Okay, right on, man. Speaking of shout out, I got a couple birthday shout outs this week. Big shout out to Phyllis Aldridge. She just turned 40 this week. Phyllis is married to my buddy William. Good Chicago folks. They come out to a bunch of my Chicago shows and probably yours too. They brought me a knife last time. So anybody who brings me cutlery.
I can't believe somebody named Phyllis Aldridge is only 40 years old.
Yeah.
That's good. Good on you.
That is youngest, kind of a grandmother
name.
Youngest
Phyllis
for her.
In the world.
Yeah, so happy
quality
birthday,
name,
Phyllis.
Though.
She turned 40 last week. Also, shout out to Kayla Brocky. She turned 31 this week. Her brother Colin asked me to do that. So, Kayla, big listener to the Boogie Monster. So, happy birthday to Kayla Brocky and Phyllis Aldridge. So, there's my birthday shout outs, just like I would do on the party line back in the day to old ladies. Wishing people a happy birthday.
Party line.
See you at church.
Harken back. You got any recipes?
Let's see. No, I haven't. You know what? I haven't been cooking this week. I haven't cooked too much at all. It's just been so hot. I cooked a few days ago, and I spent like 10 minutes in the kitchen. It looked like I fell in a lake. just sweating. It was just it's been aggressive.
I haven't been paying attention to anything. What are we getting in 90s? You got 90s?
Yeah. No, we got up to 100 in Long Beach, which was apparently some sort of record. Like, it never gets triple digits down here by the ocean. But but it got 100 last week, man. Just insane. It's starting to cool off the last day or two. But no, I haven't been doing much cooking, so I got to get back into it this week. So hopefully I'll have something for you next week.
All right. Yeah, I don't have a recipe this week either, Dave. try a take and bake pizza so you could church it up at home, but then it still comes out like you made it yourself when you take it out of the oven. That's my recipe.
I'll do that.
Fake cooking with Kyle Kinane.
I like it. I like it, buddy. All right, man. Plug the what do we call it? Patreon. Plug that real quick. That's been doing well. Man. Big thanks to the patrons. Patreon.com/boogiemonster, $4 a month. You support us two knuckleheads, and we give you a little free bonus content. So there you go.
Q&A episodes, little goodies in here and there.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, good times, buddy. I'm gonna go watch some basketball.
Go watch a little b-ball. Let me know how it goes.
Try not to sweat too much.
See all those cardboard cutouts respond.
You should go get in her TikTok video. That'd be funny. Ask her if you could be in it.
I think she might have nailed it after an hour and a half.
Okay. Well, all right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, man.
Rock and roll.
Be good.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.